There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, our daily podcast that brings together the best bits of today's show from Tuesday, December the 31st.
Not that quiet, though, I don't reckon, at least this evening.
Indeed not. We've got celebrations across town happening this evening. Of course, the Burj Khalifa and the fireworks there are the focal point, but there are many, many other destinations across Dubai. And we've been looking into the economics of all of this. We're asking, how much are you spending per person on your UAE New Year's Eve celebrations? We've broken it down into three categories. One is, not much, I'm staying in. The second one is going out up to about 500 dirhams. And the third one is I am spending more than 500 dirhams. So really pushing the boat out this evening. And I can tell you that the Twitter poll at the moment, a lot of people messaging in saying that they're just going to stay in this evening, that actually they're not pushing the boat out. They're maybe going to get a pizza, probably watch a bit of Netflix. Other streaming services are available. 78% of you say, I am staying in this evening. 17%, 17, are going to spend up to 500 dirhams, but a small minority, less than 5% of you, are going to push the boat out and spend more than 500 dirhams, which is odd, given that we've had a number of business people in this morning to saying that they've got no shortage of takers for their New Year's Eve hospitality packages at several thousand dirhams, ranging from Nando's, the chicken place, 2,500 dirhams per person down at the Burj Khalifa, to a five-star hotel like the Waldorf Astoria on Palm Jumeirah, charging 2,000-4,000 dirhams a head for their gala dinner.
The managing director of Nando's, 2,500 dirhams is what they are charging for a ringside seat for the fountains, for the fireworks down at their Dubai Mall restaurant, and all the chicken that you can eat. At the other end of scale, though, you do have, of course, the five-star resorts.
Yeah, the Waldorf Astoria is 1,900 dirhams. That's what their gala dinner starts at. It goes up to 5,000 dirhams per person if you want your own private cabana. Talking of cabanas, cabana restaurant at the Address Hotel in that part of town, couple of thousand dirhams. Some of the other Address Hotels charging 3,000 dirhams for a five-star experience with views over the fountain. We've also been looking at what it costs to rent an Airbnb for a view of the fountains as well, and we'll get some more detail on that in a second. But of course, one of the issues is the return on investment that Dubai gets for its massive investment in fireworks. Now, we don't know how much it costs to put on the light show and the fireworks down at Burj Khalifa and other places, but we do know how much it costs in Sydney, because it's a matter of public record how much the government spends, and it's $5.8 million. So let's presume that there's a global market for these kind of fireworks displays, and it's something vaguely comparable here. What kind of ROI does Dubai get on this? Well, to find out, we've been speaking to a social media expert. Alexandra Meyer is the CEO and founder of House of Social. She's been crunching the numbers on the kind of exposure that Dubai and the fireworks get every New Year's Eve, and this is what she told us.
So I was looking into some stats because I know we were going to talk about this today. So here's something interesting. So last year's laser and fireworks show by Emaar, their social media campaigns reached over 1 billion users. That's a huge amount of number of people to reach, especially if we're looking at metrics like high reach and awareness. That's 1 billion people that actually watched a lot to do with a fireworks show. But then that wasn't it. They did a partnership with TikTok last year, and it was the world's most watched New Year's live stream celebration. That's a live stream. That means that people are actually watching it live. And if you think about it in terms of the time zone differences, that means that a lot of people at different time zones were actually watching it live stream. So when you're putting those two metrics together, over 1 billion and being the most watched live stream show, that's huge.
That's the voice of the social media expert who joined us in the studio earlier on today, Alexandra Meyer of House of Social. Staying in the downtown area, Airbnb is very, very popular. If you've got a balcony overlooking the fountain and the fireworks, I was looking this morning, you can still get a two-bed in that area overlooking the fireworks on Airbnb. It's going to cost you about 6,000 dirhams. But if you think you can get six people in there, 1,000 dirhams per person, it's a lot cheaper than a burger joint. It's cheaper even than Starbucks, which is 1,200 dirhams per person. We've been speaking to the Airbnb expert, Reem Al-Khatib. She's the managing director for the UAE at Guest Ready. That's one of those companies that helps you lease out your Airbnb apartments. And we asked her about the demand over New Year.
New Year's Eve is the most popular night of the year for guests to book. And usually a flat that goes for around 750 per night would go for at least 4,000 dirhams a night. So that would be probably the lowest that you can find something to rent.
And you can't just take it for one night, can you?
Four nights minimum. Certainly with Guest Ready in their apartments. There are others, and I did look on Airbnb today. You can book for just one night tonight. 6,000 with the cheapest I find. There's a penthouse, Brandy, for 16,000. But then you can probably get 20 people in there. So again, if you divvy it up, it's not a party because you're not allowed to have parties, but you could have a gathering in the penthouse if you so wanted. But these are big numbers. They're big prices. We asked Reem, have you seen many people willing to pay that kind of money?
Yes, of course. We have a minimum number of nights across New Year's. So usually if you would like to stay in one of our apartments, you have to book for four nights, and you will still find people booking at that rate of like 4,000 at least per night across the four nights.
And we did ask Reem about the rules of conditions that Rich alluded to there. The fact that a lot of places will say no parties in this apartment.
So this is actually why we have the four-night minimum stay, because then you can avoid people that want to come in for a night or two to have a party and leave.
So what happens if I rent an apartment, let's say a two-bedroom apartment? I'm not going to have a party necessarily, but I do want to invite a few friends over. Is there a limit on the number of people I can get?
So usually we do have a limit, but if you do want to have a few friends over and you register them with the reception and we know the amount of activity that's happening, then it's okay. And usually we have people on the field on New Year's that are in certain areas that are monitoring this.
So you're going to have people out tonight in that area?
Yes.
Noise busters.
Can you imagine high visibility jackets with a decibel counter? So there's a lot happening down, obviously, in the Burj Khalifa area in downtown, but it's by no means the only place that's going to be busy this evening. The Palm Jumeirah is another big focal point. We've been speaking to Rebecca Reese, one of the senior managers at Nikhil. We asked them what they've got lined up this evening.
Our countdown actually started this morning at 6 o'clock, would you believe, down at the Point. We're having a full day of activities down there, which will culminate in the fireworks at midnight, of course. The fireworks that you can see primarily from the Point will be the Atlantis fireworks, which, of course, are ever popular in Dubai. But there are also firework displays at Sofitel, Zabil Sarai, the one and only, and at Club Vista Mare, which is further towards the mainland on the island. So there's lots going on in terms of firework displays. For this reason, we are saying to people, please, please use public transport to get there. There is parking at the Point, but those spaces we think will fill up pretty fast. So we're laying on public transport from various spots in Dubai and various points on the Palm as well to get down to the Point. And if you check out the Point with an E on the end, .ae, you'll see the full schedule there.
Also been talking to her about the prices that they're charging. Some eye-watering prices with a view overlooking the fireworks and the Burj Khalifa. But she says it's a little bit more restrained, the prices that restaurants are charging on the Palm Jumeirah this evening. Not cheap, but a little bit more restrained.
I don't think the prices are crazy down at the Point. I mean, you have to remember the Point has something for everybody. It's got everything from fast food to fine dining. And you can go there for free just to watch the display, or if you'd rather get a seat for the evening and settle in nice and comfortably and spend the evening there, then there's lots of offers on. I mean, they start in our restaurants around 395 dirhams per person, upwards of that. So obviously the Palm is a world famous destination. It's incredibly popular at this time of year, and no New Year's Eve is going to be complete without some celebrations on that island. So we've put a number of offers in place, and like I say, we've facilitated getting there very simply by putting public transport options in place as well. You can actually take the monorail for free from the Gateway Station up to Nikhil Mall. You can do that till the end of February, by the way, and park and then get on the bus at Nikhil Mall to go down to the Point. So we've made it very easy for people. We've obviously worked in collaboration with the police, civil defence, and all the authorities to ensure that tonight goes smoothly. And, you know, we're looking forward to welcome thousands of people down there. You mentioned that this is the first New Year's Eve. It's actually the second for the point because it opened in December last year.
You're joking, Rebecca. We saw thousands.
No, no. Enrique opened it on the 13th of December, 2018. Actually, it was the 14th of December, 2018. So it's over a year old now. So it's had one New Year's Eve, which was very successful last year. But we think because it's now done a full year, it's obviously grown in popularity. People are much more aware of the place. This year will be much busier, we believe.
And that's Rebecca Rees from Nikhil.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Happy New Year!
We are putting a business spin on New Year's celebrations, asking how much would you pay for a firework view tonight? We are joined now by one of the restaurants in Dubai Mall, downtown Dubai, that can offer you a ringside seat. George Kunapoli is Managing Director of Nando's, the South African chicken franchise. George, it's lovely to have you in here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the prime position that you've got at Nando's in Dubai Mall.
Well, it's been about 6 weeks since we have opened up in Dubai Mall. In fact, we came back to Dubai Mall after 4 years. And it's probably the most happening strip facing the Burj Khalifa. And on the promenade, we have 80 seats, which are priced at $2,500 per seat. And it's an impact. Amazing view of the fountain and the Burj Khalifa, and from 8 p.m. to 12 midnight, you could enjoy as much as you would like of our hot favorites, and it's table service, unlimited food and beverage service. So
let's dig into that. This is a new restaurant for you, as you say, month and a half old. You're down there between Carluccio's and Social House.
That's
so
correct.
You're right on the apron,
yep,
in front of the fountains.
It doesn't get better than that. We are right facing the fountain, and the Burj is right in front of you. Amazing view.
So fountain views, fireworks views. And if I want to sit out on your terrace in a prime spot, mm-hmm, 2,500 dirhams.
No, the promenade is at 2,500. The terrace is 1,750.
But still, so 2,500 for your top ticket. What
correct
would I actually get for that?
Oh, well, from 8 p.m. to midnight, we would serve you our hot favorites, unlimited service of food and beverage. So it would be appetizers and main course and sides and dessert and coffee and tea and soft drinks and bottled water. So the whole evening is spent with us. Spend with your family and friends. And we are seeing of the 80 seats we have on the promenade and 60 on the terrace and 100 seats inside, we have sold out almost 70% of them already since the last 4 days.
Okay, so 70% gone at that price.
Already sold, yeah. And it's if you have been to Nando's Dubai Mall, and if you know the exact location, it doesn't get better than that to bring in the new year on the strip.
I mean, I like Nando's. Go with my family. Typically, I'd say the bill is, what, 150 dirhams when the four of us leave? Maybe throw in an entertainer voucher or something like that. How do you justify 2,500 dirhams for what is fast casual food? I don't know what the average ticket price is at Nando's, but I'm guessing it's less than 100 dirhams.
Per person is about 80, 85. But New Year's Eve is not just about the food. It's about the experience, the whole atmosphere, the view. And customers are willing to pay a premium. In fact, I can confidently say we are not the most expensive ticket on the Dubai Mall Strip, the promenade. And we have not had any inquiries that involve, oh, would you be able to give us a discount? Would you be able to? Customers are just picking them up. And we have large families, tourists, a lot of guests from the African mainland, European guests, the Indian subcontinent, residents who have friends and family visiting who want to make this a memorable occasion. Predominantly, they're tourists, but we also have residents who are picking up tickets to spend the New Year's Eve.
Which is so interesting. They're not even haggling.
No. We have not had an inquiry, even for large number of tickets, wherein people are asking us, would there be a discount? Well, we have a kids rate for the terrace and the internal area. For children up to the age of 12, we have a much lower rate, but there's not been any haggling over pricing.
I mean, it's looking at some of the your competitors along that strip, things like the International House of Pancakes, which is, you know, it's a fabulous institution, but it's cheap pancakes. Starbucks is charging more than 1,000 dirhams. Do you have to do a sharp intake of breath as a restaurateur thinking, wow, over 1,000 dirhams for Five Guys, Starbucks, Nando's, whatever it may be?
See, as I said, the food is not what customers are willing to pay for. Customers are willing to pay for the entire experience. And if you look at the whole evening, it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime occasion. You are at the foot of the world's tallest building. It's probably the most happening space on the planet. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime occasion.
And we are in a place where, for a lot of people, a dry New Year's will be absolutely the norm. So that isn't such a that doesn't feel like you're missing out on
it
anything
in the
slightest.
It helps that the brand is also trendy and people love flame-grilled peri-peri chicken. And if it can be clubbed with a fountain show and a view of the tallest building, and if you're sitting in some of these restaurants on the promenade, it's as good as it gets. It's
how far up the promenade towards the fountains can you go? Because, I'd hate to pay for a seat and then have 400 tourists in front of me all holding up their iPads.
Nobody
at the
would
fountains.
Be blocking your view. And that's the best part, because if you have seen the restaurant layout, all of us on the promenade have our own terrace. And then Imar has given us allocated spaces on the promenade. And it's barely about 10 feet from where the railings are of the fountain, and nobody's allowed to stand out there.
There's no public access to the promenade tonight?
No, only ticket holders.
Do you have to pay EMA to get that extra space?
There is a facilitation fee, but it's not a big number. And they've been extremely kind and gracious.
Yeah. Very quickly, while you're here, George, you've opened the restaurant 6 weeks ago back in Dubai Mall. You've got restaurants across town. We hear continually that there have been challenges for the restaurant industry across Dubai in 2019. How would you characterise 2019? What have been the main challenges that you've faced, and why are you expanding now?
See, it's a while in terms of business, we have seen that dine-in has been a flat year, and average transaction values have dropped in certain locations. But if you take Dubai Mall, it has not impacted us at all, because certain malls, certain communities, we don't see any impact. Well, it's purely out of the 22 restaurants we have, in certain restaurants we have seen that deliveries have spiked while dine-in has flattened out. But in many of our shopping center locations, we haven't seen a dip. And if you look at our top 10 locations, business has been brisk or even better than last year.
Which are the top 10 locations? I mean, not all of them, but give me an example.
Sheikh Zayed Road, Dubai Motor City, Marina, Greens, Middle City Centre, Dera City Centre, and now Dubai Mall. There's been no looking back.
What characterises those communities where the footfall has dropped, do you think? What do they have in common?
A shift in demographic and also in terms of average transaction ticket sizes. So we constantly do promotions and with Entertainer and with online aggregator portals, as well as we run our brand campaigns. So we have been able to manage that shift by opening newer locations, by running campaigns which the community or the demographic identifies with. So while certain campaigns would work with a particular demographic, it may not work with a different demographic. And if you look at our locations, the demographic mix is pretty wide.
George Kunapalli, Managing Director of Nando's, thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning.
Most welcome. Pleasure is all mine.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Happy New Year!
It is New Year's Eve. Happy New Year to everyone. Let's look now at the economics of New Year's Eve. The Palm Jumeirah is one of the big focal points, of course, and joining us in the studio now is the general manager of one of the top hotels on Palm Jumeirah. David Wilson is the general manager of the Waldorf Astoria on the Palm. David, good morning. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
We'll get into some of the specifics in a second. But in terms of the rhythm of your year at the Waldorf on the Palm, how big a deal is New Year's Eve compared to things like Ramadan, Eid, Christmas, and other occasions that we have?
Well, New Year's is a really big event for us. I think it has a lot of significance. Obviously, it's the wrap-up of the year. There's a lot of excitement about New Year, the New Year's Eve. Of course, you know, throughout the year, as you say, the hotel events are dotted throughout. But New Year's the big party, and tonight we're looking forward to an especially good one.
So what do you do? Putting your business hat on, it's a very competitive environment on the Palm Jumeirah itself, many other great five-star hotels across Dubai, many great five-star hotels. What do you do in terms of A, doing something unique and different rather than just putting on a buffet, and B, in terms of being price competitive? How do you approach that?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, for tonight, we've got, and every year, in fact, we have a themed dinner, and tonight, around the poolside, there's going to be an amazing dinner. It's all themed around circus. So we've got a sort of greatest show event, and the stage is all themed in circus style. There's an amazing spread of food, of everything you can possibly imagine, from caviar, oysters, lobster, all around. There's great entertainment. We've got stilt walkers, fire eaters, aerial show, acrobatics, magician. So what we're really doing is we're creating an event that's so memorable, so different, unique, and really just adds a lot to the whole party. So it's very much more than just the buffet. Well, on top of that, of course, we've got our social by Heinz Beck with our three-star Michelin chef collaboration that we have, which is also another great way to spend New Year's Eve.
So in terms of the economics of that, let's look at the circus event. What are you charging for Dubai residents like Brandy and myself if we just want to come along and pay for that? And how are you charging for the guests who are staying in the hotel? Are you bundling that into the package for a New Year's holiday? How do you approach that?
Well, a bit of both. I mean, we've got we charge $1,900 for the package for tonight, for the buffet, or for the circus dinner for the event. And packages go up from $1,900 to $2,600, depending on which package you choose. Or you can take a private cabana for 20,000 dirhams for the four people. So different packages. And some of the guests who are staying, obviously we have a lot of overseas guests coming in for New Year. And it's quite interesting because we have a group of guests who will come in, for example, for Christmas and then depart and go back for New Year. And then we have another group of guests who'll come in particularly for the new year in Dubai.
So, I mean, 1,900 dirhams sounds like quite a lot, but Nando's is charging more than that, isn't it, down at Burj Khalifa, Brandy? International House of Pancakes at Burj Khalifa is charging about that. So when you put it in that kind of context, maybe it's not so crazy.
What are you seeing in terms of people's willingness to pay this year? I mean, it has been a year that people have been watching their wallets quite closely. It has been a year for a lot of people have been quite tight. Has that translated into people's budgets for New Year's Eve and what you're offering as a result?
It doesn't seem to have. I think that we've seen throughout the year, I think we've definitely seen the impact of that, and we've seen the impact of some of the key markets for the hotel, like the UK, which has been a bit clouded with the uncertainty over Brexit and other issues, and currency fluctuations on the pound have affected business. But I would say for tonight, it seems like New Year's Eve is still the night where people go out and they're prepared to spend for a good night out. Our prices are no different to last year, and the demand, again, we've got a great demand for tonight's event, so it doesn't seem to be any different.
More broadly, in terms of how the hotel industry is doing, yesterday our top story was a report from EY. I'm sure you read these reports all the time. Occupancy levels across Dubai held up pretty well in 2019, but they came at the expense of the average room rate, which was down about 15%. And you'll have read many other reports from the likes of STR, which say broadly the same kind of thing. If you look back on 2019, what's been the story for you as the general manager of a hotel on Palm Jumeirah?
Well, I think, you know, that's a fact. This year, 2019 has been a challenging year. We've had two main factors which have affected it in so much as we've had a lot of increased room inventory in the city. And we've also had...
Including a lovely new Waldorf Astoria down in DIFC.
Including that, yeah, which is a great sister property for us to have because it complements us being a city hotel together with our resort. But yeah, there's been a lot of pressure because of the increased room inventory. And again, the market in the UK being one of the major markets for Dubai has been affected by this instability of Brexit and so on. So has been a difficult year. Occupancy has been good, but average rate has come under pressure. We've found that the destinations like the Palm and the beaches have had less effect of that.
Because I'm looking on booking.com at the moment at Waldorf Astoria, Dubai Palm Jumeirah, your hotel. Sold out tonight. I can get a room tomorrow night. 2,700 dirhams. On the 2nd of January, 3,008 dirhams. It doesn't sound like a hotel industry in crisis to me.
No, these are particularly good times. I mean, we're really Christmas, New Year, still a great season for Dubai. And of course, after the new year, we move into a lot of Russian business and the Russian Christmas, Russian celebrations. So we're seeing this year that we have a large number of visitors or even increasing number of visitors coming over from Russia.
So if we look to 2020 as we wrap up now, we're all making our, partly our New Year's resolutions, but also as a business leader like you, you're looking at your plannings and your strategy for 2020. What are you going to do different in 2020? Because the room rates will come down, as you say, from those rates throughout the year. The realities are that we have a lot of new supply in the market and more to come in 2020. So when you do your plans for the year as a hotel GM, what do you do? What do you look at?
A couple of things. One of the things that we've seen particularly in, relating to our hotel, we're just 5 years old. So, you know, by Dubai terms, 5 years might seem a long time, but by the rest of the world, it's relatively new. And so we're seeing a lot more repeat business. We're seeing that our base of business is quite strong. So as a strategy, what we do is we lay down the base business and as far ahead as we can. We have a great partnership with a lot of our business partners, travel companies that we get that base. And after the base, we work on the yield. So as we come closer into the dates, we work at different booking channels such as booking.com, Hilton.com on online sites. So we do a lot of work on pushing those rates. So it's really balancing the rate equation. Expo, of course, that's going to be a big thing for us this year. A lot of focus on that. And we're hoping definitely that last quarter is going to take a big uplift with the Expo.
David, great talking to you. Appreciate your time. Going to let you get back because it's a busy day for you and all hoteliers today. David Wilson is the general manager of the Waldorf Astoria Dubai on the Palm Jumeirah. Happy New Year and thanks for your time.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast. Newsmakers.
The people making the headlines today.
Starting with, of course, Carlos Ghosn, the former boss of Nissan and Renault, who is this morning having breakfast in Beirut because he has fled, we think, Japan. Here's the story. He was arrested just over a year ago on corruption charges, financial irregularities relating to his time, in particular, at Nissan. He spent 4 months in jail. Since April, he's been out on house arrest, but he has been very, very closely monitored. But he arrived in Beirut at Rafiq Hariri International Airport, we think, on Sunday night, early Monday morning, on a private jet from Turkey. Now, Reuters reports the following. They say a person resembling Mr. Ghosn entered Beirut International Airport under a different name after flying in aboard a private jet. They are quoting the Japanese public broadcaster NHK and an unidentified Lebanese security official. They say it is unclear how Mr. Ghosn, who holds three passports, France, Brazil and Lebanon, would have been able to leave Japan. But they do point out that Lebanon does not have an extradition treaty with Japan.
Well, do you know what? And as Rich said, there are a lot of media organisations this morning being very, very careful with their wording. When we were first awake before five this morning, people were using the word fled. We've literally been watching the headlines change in front of our eyes to take away that wording. The wording's coming back, ironically, now that he has released that very passionate statement. I'm having a look at what's happening on Twitter. Tom Gara, formerly of the UAE, now based in the US, working for BuzzFeed News, has been keeping an eye on what the Lebanese media are saying. Some of them apparently saying that he was smuggled out of Japan in a box designed for transporting musical instruments.
I'm sorry.
I'm carefully giving my sources there because this is BuzzFeed News, keeping an eye on what Lebanese media and Lebanese journalists are saying on Twitter. But there are apparently news outlets in Lebanon saying that he was smuggled out of Japan in a box designed for transporting musical instruments.
Oh my word!
Presumably with air holes.
The people will already be negotiating the movie rights to this one.
I know. Incredible.
Curiouser and curiouser. What we do know is that he's issued a statement within the past hour or so. We'll give you details of that in a second. But first of all, let's hear from Carlos Ghosn. Not speaking this morning. He hasn't given a press conference yet. We are expecting that shortly. But this is him speaking earlier on this year in April, after he was released from jail, but subsequently placed under house arrest in Japan. And as you can hear, this is him protesting his innocence.
The first message is I'm innocent. It's not new. You have heard it from me in January. I repeat it today. I'm innocent of all the charges that have been brought against me. And I'm also innocent of all the accusation that came around these charges that are all biased, taken out of context, twisted in a way to paint a personage of greed and the personage of dictatorship.
It's all very, very emotive language. I mean, even this morning's language, if I have a look and go back to that original statement this morning, it's very, very passionate indeed. Carlos Ghosn speaking about the Japanese justice system and his opinion of it. I don't know, Rich. I mean, like you say, there's almost a Netflix series here in the making. Carlos saying this morning that he can now finally freely communicate with the media and that he looks forward to starting in the next week. He mentions rigged systems. He talks about political persecution. I mean, there's no holding back here.
You couldn't make it up. You really couldn't. We're on top of this. If we get any more information, we will let you know. But he is having breakfast this morning in Beirut. That much is a confirmed fact.
Something else that has astounded us in the last 24 hours, and that is some of the small print for accessing free Wi-Fi areas in the UAE. I was out last night. I went to see a movie, and I stopped in a restaurant beforehand to prep for this morning's show. And went to log on to the free Wi-Fi. And you know how most of these you can sign up through social media, so you get to choose whether you want, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what have you. I chose Twitter, and for the first time, I actually read the small print. And to be fair to them, the small print was actually quite large print. It wasn't hidden away on sort of page 4. But I was quite shocked by what was there. Only a quarter of us, by the way, statistically ever read the small print for these kind of things. And there are all sorts of tests and that have been done. In 2017, for example, there was in Manchester a company that put into their free public Wi-Fi terms and conditions the fact that you had to do 1,000 hours of community service. 22,000 people still clicked yes, showing that they don't read it. Anyway, last night I did read it. I opted to log in via Twitter. I couldn't see an easy way to log in just giving my email address, which is what I usually do. I've got an email address that I just use for these things that I don't even open the account, and I assume it just sits there merrily collecting spam. But I went to log in through Twitter, and this is what the small print said. It said, you know, sign in, ? Type thing, and then it said this application will be able to see tweets from your timeline, including protected tweets, as well as your lists and collections. Okay, fine. See your Twitter profile information and account settings. Okay, fine. See accounts that you follow, mute, and block. Nah, but okay, fine. Follow and unfollow accounts for you.
Whoa.
Probably not. Update your profile and account settings.
No way.
Definitely not. Post and delete tweets for you. And engage with tweets posted by others, like, unlike, reply to a tweet, retweet, etc. Absolutely, definitely
what?
Not. And on, mute, block, and delete accounts for you. So basically, if I had ticked yes and signed in, this Wi-Fi operator would have been able to change my profile and just start tweeting madly on my behalf. Whether they would or not, of course, is another story. That maybe they're just covering all grounds here. But I was flabbergasted. I took a photo of it, which is what I'm reading off now. I used my own phone to tether myself to the data that I already pay for. So I didn't use their Wi-Fi in the slightest because I thought, no, we're not doing that. But isn't that amazing? Update your profile settings. Post and delete tweets for you.
This is truly appalling. If it wasn't New Year's Eve, we'd be over this one like a rash. As it stands, we're going to do some further investigations over the next couple of days or so. I think maybe Sunday, Monday, when people are in more of a work frame of mind, we need to look into this because that... And I'm not that bothered typically about privacy and infringement. I just figure out that there's CCTV cameras everywhere and Big Brother is always watching you. And frankly, I'm quite glad he is because it keeps us safer. But to be posting tweets on your behalf, to be liking and unliking things on your behalf, to be changing your profile is beyond outrageous. And we have to look into this in more detail.
Yeah, that stopped me in my tracks last night. There you go.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.